First reading is Genesis chapter 50, and I'm going to read verses 15 to 21. Joseph reassures his brothers, page 57, if anyone wants to follow on the New International Version. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them.
Reading is from Matthew chapter 18, and we're starting at verse 21. It's called the parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servants fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
Stories in the news this week. Women surgeons starting their young careers groped and fondled by senior consultants in the operating theatre. The Spanish football coach, Rubiales, grasping the woman striker's head and kissing her forcibly on the lips. And now, most recently, allegations against Russell Brand. Ballet dancers, fashion models, gymnasts and athletes fat-shamed and told to cut out carbohydrates and get thinner. Powerful and entitled people, usually senior men, using their power and position to demand favours. In almost every profession, clergy, teachers, lawyers, businessmen, fashion editors, film moguls. We're shocked by these behaviours, aren't we? It's why they hit the news. We don't expect it. We expect people in authority to behave. And yet, they don't. Human beings don't, time and again. They sin. They take advantage of their position. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The Bible is often a little more realistic than our society is about human sin. Iniquity pervades every area of life. Each person is tempted. Nobody is immune. And we're told in the Bible about their failings, even the greatest Bible heroes like King David. And while we should look for good behavior, yes, of course we should, however, we should not be at all surprised when even the loftiest person fails and falls. We should pray forgiveness for them and ask God to change our hearts. God forgives, and so should we. Joseph's brothers in the Old Testament story, they expected Joseph to take his revenge on them, especially after their father died and there was no family patriarch to restrain him. But Joseph, often taken as an Old Testament model of good behavior, Joseph weeps at their distrust and their fear of his power. And he reassures them and treats them well. God has been at work in his life. The arrogant dreamer has grown up and learned to obey God, and he has already forgiven them. St. Peter expects a limit to this new teaching to forgive your enemies. I mean, he knows Jesus is an extremist, of course, but he's still hoping for a reasonable answer. He thinks he's made a very generous offer of 7 times forgiving. In their culture, 7 was code for lots. And Jesus shocks him with an ultimate figure, more than is reasonable or even generous. Is Jesus simply a perfectionist, ultra-competitive? No, it's not that. It's because Jesus knows the character of God the Father. Jesus knows how God forgives. And it's way more than Peter or even we can ever imagine. And then Jesus underlines the point with a memorable parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The kingdom of heaven is like this, says Jesus. The servant in the story owes millions of pounds and cannot possibly pay and is due to be sold into slavery with his wife and children. Note, please, your responsibility for your family's fate. And he begs for mercy, and his debt is written off. That's how God treats us, Jesus is saying, if we repent. However, the servant does not treat others like this. He has his debtor thrown into prison, even for a small amount. And then word gets back to their master. And the master calls the servant back in and reverses his earlier forgiveness. And the man's not only thrown into prison, but he is tortured until he pays back everything. Jesus is being fierce, isn't he, to underline how important this is. And then he explains in clear and simple words, just in case anybody has not quite got the point. Jesus says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Now, nobody can demand forgiveness. When we sin or do wrong, it's not our right to be forgiven. No way. Nor can anybody compel someone else to forgive. It's not a human obligation. It's always a voluntary act. But I think 3 things are worthy of note here. First of all, 1, forgiveness has an effect on the forgiver, the person who's been sinned against, the person who's been offended. Because bitterness and resentment and anger eat you up from the inside. Refusing to forgive, that's like swallowing rat poison and then waiting for the rat to die. It won't, you will. But forgiving is a bit like letting go of the bitterness, releasing the stress. You're cutting off the past so that it no longer controls the future. And if you've been wronged, forgiving will free you from resentment. Two, God forgives. This is what God does. This is his character. This is the big story of his dealings with human beings. And he expects it of his followers too. If you want to obey God's laws, then you should do as he does and forgive. The Lord's Prayer says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." And when he tells us the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus adds, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Again, Jesus makes the link, the connection between God forgiving us and us forgiving others. You might ask, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, who knows? But the two things are connected. And lastly, Jesus adds this phrase, from the heart. In other words, it can't be pretend, shallow, surface. It has to be genuine. It must go deep. You're not denying that the wrong happened. There may even be consequences. Justice may need to be served. However, revenge belongs to God, not to us. Jesus is talking about total forgiveness from your heart. Now, I know that's very easy to say, isn't it? Until the point where you have something to forgive. And then you suddenly discover it's very hard to do. The only thing I can suggest is pray. Ask God to help you. Ask his Spirit to change your heart and release you from the grip of this wrong, this hurt that's been done to you. Ask him to help you to pray forgiveness and even blessing on your enemy. So do you need to respond, I wonder? Maybe some of us here need to take action after this service. What's God saying to you today? Don't walk away. Obey God.